Now, the world has been having a difficult month. A new front in the long war in Syria, impeachment investigations against the US president, all the mess of Brexit still unresolved. And let's not forget South America. Leaving aside an unresolved standoff in oil-rich Venezuela, we've seen fatal riots in Ecuador and Chile, a political crisis in Peru, a deep recession in Argentina as voters there head to the polls, and even normally quiet and peaceful Uruguay has seen a leap in the murder rate as drug cartels move in. So what's up? David Altman is Professor of Political Science at the Catholic University of Chile. He joins us now from Santiago. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Good morning.
Hello to you. Thank you for joining us. Let's start with where you are in Santiago, Chile. A million people, we're being told, protesting in the streets there in the capital. At least 19 people killed. What on earth is going on?
Oh, my God. It's extremely hard to start to explain the whole situation, but we are immersed in a huge mess. But basically, I would say that about 2 weeks ago, the government tried to increase the price of the public transportation, and unions, student unions, start to evade this new price, you know, getting to the subway without paying. And from there, it was kind of a snowball that pushed the whole country to this stalemate. And until today, 7 days in a row with curfew, an emergency situation. And as you mentioned just before, last night we saw 1.5 million people demonstrating in downtown Santiago, and overall in the whole country, about 4 million inhabitants taking the streets, demanding several things. And that's one of the funny things, because there is no unique and coherent agenda of demands. I mean, some people demand better pensions, some people better loans for studying at the university, you know, increasing the minimum salary for workers, et cetera, et cetera. So the government today, just the president of Chile, Piñera, asked all his ministers to put their positions in this position for the government. It seems that it's going to be a huge reshuffle in the cabinet. Probably tonight we won't have curfew again for the first day in about 8 nights. So things are very liquid in a way, where you can combine vandalic behaviors, but mostly peaceful demonstrations. And it's a very effervescent time here in Santiago and in Chile in general.
So when you see all this blowing up, ostensibly because of a small rise in public transport fares, it's plainly not about the public transport fares. There must be something underlying it all, some anxiety or stress in the society that suddenly started this brush fire.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're 100% right. I mean, the increase in the price of the public transportation was the trigger that simply put fire on a situation that was extremely delicate, extremely annoying for most big sections of Chilean society. Let's say, for instance, that when you go to the university, you have to ask for a loan, and this loan is expensive, and then you have to pay it back. But then you are extremely vulnerable to any contingency situation. Let's say if you're suddenly a sickness happens that occurs to you, it might be the case perfectly. You have to sell your house to pay for the medicine and for the treatment of this sickness if it is something big, right? So, you know, the health system, the national health system, the national pension system, which Chile invented, you know, before Margaret Thatcher or Ronald Reagan adopted this privatization scheme, Chile was somehow the first place in the Western hemisphere, at least, to trial these new formulas of social schemes. And, well, since then we have all this system. It's an extremely liberal perspective of how the state has to cover the basic needs of citizens, but it's extremely weak. It's extremely weak, particularly for weak sectors of society. And for weak sectors of society, I'm talking about the big majority of people in Chile.
So, I mean, the external view of Chile is that it's had economic growth, in fact, in reasonably strong levels for quite a long time. Is the fundamental problem that we're seeing elsewhere in the world as well, and that is that the rich are getting richer faster than the poor are getting richer?
Exactly. That's exactly the point. I mean, there is an extreme degree of social inequality and economic inequality in this country. Without any doubt, Chile has performed extremely well in terms of macroeconomic data. I mean, inflation, economic growth. And partially, I would say that many of the reasons of this unrest is exactly due to this extreme success of the economic model. It's a paradoxical explanation, but given that the country took many people that were, let's say, poor, and now there are low middle classes, but these low middle classes are still extremely vulnerable to any contingency situation that might have. So, paradoxically, given that the country has been, between quote-unquote, a success, like macroeconomically speaking, it's part of the reason why people are so angry, because they don't get what they think they deserve, and with a lot of reason they say that, because it's extremely, they're in an extremely vulnerable situation.
Can Chile manage its difficulties in peaceful ways? Can it be resolved through policy shifts, or something more fundamental coming up the turnpike?
I hope so, and I'm quite optimistic that it will. The government, as I just mentioned, it's reshuffling the cabinet. These huge demonstrations were extremely clear as water that citizenry is demanding a huge, drastic reform in how the government and the state deals with, you know, the economic distribution of this enormous profit the country is making, you know, copper and so many things. I'm quite optimistic with Chile, but it doesn't mean that it won't be painful. I mean, of course, demonstrations, and still getting a lot of information from social media on demonstrations tonight, demonstrations tomorrow, for the next week. So it's going to be the next few days in Chile are going to still be quite effervescent and without a clear north where we are going. But for sure, it's going to be something big. Let's say some people are demanding a national constituent assembly. Don't forget the Chilean constitution today, it's somehow an inheritance from the Pinochet regime. So the Chileans didn't decide about their constitution democratically. And that's one of the things that symbolically is really impacting this atmosphere of unrest as well.
Well, let's go briefly across the border then to Argentina, because there's plenty going on there as well. They've got the voters heading towards the polls. A deep, deep recession has hit Argentina. What's the immediate future for Argentina?
Well, you know, it seems that it's almost sure that the opposition is going to win tomorrow the national elections for the presidency and Congress in general, both chambers. So the Kirchner administration somehow a different but similar coalition that we have with Cristina Fernández de Kirchner and Néstor Kirchner, but now under the leadership of Alberto Fernández, are going to win virtually in all the branches of government. So it seems that Argentina is going back to what we used to see in terms of protectionism, in terms of an important amount of social policy and much less liberal economic reforms, as we have seen during this last administration of Macri, that, to say the truth, was not as successful as anyone expected, you know. Recession is amazingly important. The devaluation of the Argentinian peso is drastic. Today is about 60-something, and it was about 15 not so long ago. So they are in a very vulnerable situation as well, macroeconomically speaking. And social unrest, for sure. Argentinians are very, you know, they talk a lot. They are very Italianized in somehow how they demonstrate. So you see a lot of demonstrations and somehow some dimensions of violence as well.
At least they have the safety valve of a vote that is immediately upon them. But if you look again slightly further to the east, the next one along, Uruguay has always been a fairly quiet, peaceful, prosperous corner of South America. But there's been a tremendous leap in the murder rate in Uruguay. Oh, yeah. What's that about?
Well, it's extremely for a social scientist to give you just one answer. I mean, there is it's a combination of reasons, but one of the reasons and the hypothesis that I heard in the last time, which is taking more substantial argument, is that due to the fact that in the north of South America, the anti-drug policies are extremely somehow success in some way or another. These drug dealers are moving and looking for places where it's easy to export their material to, let's say, Western Europe and the United States. So it seems that there is an influence of these movements and cross-national dealers and unlawful activity, and it's moving all around Latin America and somehow have find their spot in Uruguay. And Uruguay by itself is a very, as you mentioned, it's an extremely liberal society. Even at the in terms of drug policy, I mean, you can even the state is producing marijuana for recreational purposes and selling it to the citizenry. So given that Uruguay is expanding, it's more tolerant in the legal terms, the territory for the dealers, it's quite reduced. So they are fighting for these small pieces of land where the state doesn't really get in to still producing their, you know, their business, which is absolutely illegal. So that's one of the reasons how crime has increased a lot, at least in the periphery of the big cities of the country.
Well, we hope for all of those countries and for other countries further north where there's been all kinds of unrest that peace, calm and a reasonable forward direction emerges from all of this. Professor David Altman, Professor of Political Science at the Catholic University of Chile, joining us from Santiago. Thank you so much for your help today.
Thank you very much.